Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. Welcome to Fightful. Back here with a name you know. How could you not know him? When Fightful started, you knew him as UFC star Filthy Tom Lawler. Now you know him as, New Japan star, MLW star. He was on Ring of Honor recently. A little bit of everywhere. Filthy Tom Lawler, how are you?
I'm doing great. How about you, Sean?
I'm doing really good. I've got some pressing questions for you, some of which involve MLW War Chamber, March 29th, St. Petersburg. You can see it on Triller TV. The newish MLW Tag Team Champion, Filthy Tom Lawler, and WTF, which I love the imagery. I love the group, love everything about it. But man, I've got some serious questions for you.
Lay them on me. Bring it. Let's go.
We'll start with MLW as they set this whole deal up, right? Like, I could not have possibly have spoken to you if not for them. So thank you to MLW. MLW War Chamber.
I would have refused.
She would have refused.
Sort of a request on your behalf.
Listen, that settlement money speaks volumes, and Court Bauer made it worth his while. You've got a few teammates in WTF, and I have some history with a few of them. Mm. Davey Boy Smith Jr., can't say anything bad about him. Wonderful guy.
Even if you could, you don't want to.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, listen, from the legendary Hart family and still went and trained with Billy Robinson. Like, I adore that. Joshua Bishop is the reason why I was almost in tears before my most recent match. Because right before my match, he walks up to me with a substance. And everybody knows when a substance is brought up to me, I just shove it straight up my nose. It was smelling salts. Have you been subjected to this by Josh Bishop yet?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of time. There's times where I've been in the ring and I go, hey, the match is about to start. I go, Bishop, you got to give me the rhino. What do you got today? There's a number of substances. Yeah, sometimes there's a rhino on the bottle. Yeah, sometimes there's a rhino on the bottle. Sometimes there's like, you know, just like 13 X's and exclamation points. And then, you know, a rock.
So, I mean, like he's going to that John Jones school of like, we'll just get whatever's at the gas station.
Oh, these are definitely gas station pickups. Yeah. But they are quite effective.
Let me tell you. I have never experienced anything like that. You hear about smelling salts all the time, but I've never experienced it. And I had to immediately blow my nose so many times because I was like, I'm supposed to be the bad guy. People are going to think I'm emotional and crying and like really happy to be here. So I was like, ah, damn, that was crazy. Richard Holiday didn't know who D12 was when I interviewed him. How do you reckon that? How do you get in bed in business with someone who didn't know who D12 was, Filthy Tom?
Oh, he's never been to the bombest bash in town, obviously.
Clearly.
Hey, Richard Holiday is a great businessman.
He is a great businessman.
And that's why I'm in business with him. I'm not going to concerts.
Really?
And hanging out with Richard Holiday. I might go to the coffee shop.
You might go to the
I'm not getting a cortado.
Like, what concert would you go to with him? Obviously not D12.
It would probably have to be something with that Tiny Desk Band.
You know what?
They're really good. And the Tiny Desk Band.
I watched the Justin Timberlake one this past week, actually. The Juvenile one was incredible. Like, it was unbelievable. I could see that. Like, have you ever seen the other guys where Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg at a Knicks game and Billy Gunn's just hanging back there? That would be you and Richard Holiday at Tiny Desk. They'd pan over and you guys are just there and you're like,
I'd be more like Brian Knobbs at the NBA Finals, going crazy, pushing women out of the way, trying to get my hands on a piece of memorabilia from Juvenile.
Did you see, it was a clip or a picture that reemerged recently from The Last Dance, and the Sandman was just hanging out and high-fiving Michael Jordan. It's incredible.
That's unbelievable.
It's incredible. So War Chamber, you have been in this match before. You have experienced this in the past.
Kind of. I don't want to cut you off.
Sure. No, go ahead.
You know what? Go ahead, because we'll see if you get to it.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
No, please.
I won't get to it. Go ahead. I was going to ask you how you're preparing this time.
Well, it is a different match. I have been in the War Chamber match, but now this match will be contested in two rings, whereas the one that I was in one ring. So to me, it's like a completely different world. You know?
Have you ever been in a two-ring match, whether a cage is involved or not? Because sometimes you're there and you're not in that match, but you've still got the two rings that are there for a match later to work with.
Yes. However, I don't think that I used the second ring. There was a War Chamber, or it might have actually been MLW War Games, if I remember correctly.
Was it you and Janela?
I did wrestle Joey Janela in a match that was never aired. I was hit in the back of the head with a bottle by Chris Harris. No, I'm sorry, not Chris Harris. James Storm.
Oh, okay.
I mean, at least I had the right
team.
James Storm, and then that angle was never followed up upon. So I did have a match there, but no one's ever seen it. So did it really happen? You know,
I dare say
a two-ring match. So
dare I say that it did happen? But I mean, you are now involved with WTF, and when. So I mean, that's kind of a daring stable to even put together mid lawsuit. So I respect that. I like the imagery and all that. It's very clever. And if anybody knows anything, they watch wrestling to be clever. It very much fits the bill. It's got four guys that you look at and you're like, yeah, they would have probably fit right in the mid 90s, like style of like what wrestlers looked like in WWF. And by that, I mean the Stalker and TL Hopper or whatever those may be. How are you approached? Like, hey, let's do something with you in WTF, because sincerely, it's been really fun to watch.
I pattern myself more after the Goon, in a lot of ways. Actually, TL Hopper as well, one of my favorites. I was, if you remember correctly, actually, what happened was Davey Boy Smith was set to wrestle Alex Kane for the MLW World Title, and Davey Boy Smith, of course, already partnered up with MSL, and I got a call on a few days' notice. I had spoken to MLW, you know, in months prior about coming in and coming back and working there again, and I was, you know, contacted on short notice. I was happy to step in, and when I look at the lay of the land, when I look at the roster out there, there's one guy that I don't want to get hit again ever in my life, and that's Davey Boy Smith Jr. So I thought, hey, I should team up with this guy. I'm getting the opportunity to step in, you know, for him in his place, and it's kind of taken off since then. And I'm very happy that he's made his way back and is healthy and good to go.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I mean, he's a guy that you'd done battle with at Bloodsport and MLW in the past as well. Was the title win the first time you guys had ever teamed together?
Yes. Yeah. I think we had probably fought each other maybe five or six times in various battles. And I'm not kidding. When I say if I went up and down that roster and there's some hard hitters out there. You know what I mean? Matt Riddle. No slouch. Kojima, go watch the lariat this guy throws. Just melting Josh Bishop's face off with a lariat at the last MLW show. And I'm telling you, the one guy that I don't want to face again is Davey Boy Smith Jr. So obviously we come from not the same, but somewhat similar backgrounds. And I dare anyone to find another tag team, two other guys that could come beat us up. I don't think it's going to happen.
Another former foe that you recently teamed with was Fred Rosser. And one of my favorite interviews was me talking to him. And he's like, yeah, I'm a big fan of Gary V and all the positivity. And then I'm like, so this promo you cut on Filthy Tom, it was pretty extreme. I must have missed that Gary V talk. But
I don't remember Gary V threatening to find out where somebody lives and then take advantage of them in front of their children. But hey, to each their own.
That's a kind way of putting it. It's a very kind way of putting it. But you guys teamed together recently. How was that, considering that you guys had one of the best feuds going for quite a while? I mean, it really reestablished Fred Rosser as a talent that a lot of people did not know he had in him.
Well, when you bring that up and you start talking about it, it kind of reminds me of teaming with Davey Boy Smith in a lot of ways, where, you know, it's a guy that I fought over and over. I've done battle with in the past, and it's not hard for us necessarily to get on the same page. Now, it was weird, you know, teaming with Fred, and, you know, there's been so many times where I've just been in matches and my sole focus was to rip this guy's face off, no matter how many other people were on the sidelines, involved in the match, were there, whatever. And to team with him's weird, but like, obviously I have great respect for this guy, probably more respect than anybody out there realizes. I've been to one professional wrestling seminar that I can remember in recent times, and it was a Fred Rosser seminar. Let me just put it that way. So I'm happy. I'm happy to team with him. I hope I get two more.
I thought that was, I love that feud, because I mean, there are a whole lot of people that did not know Fred Rosser was like, had that in him, to be honest with you.
When I was on my way to, I remember that I was on my way to that taping. It was during the pandemic, the first time I wrestled him. And I'm the kind of guy that, like, I don't know how to, like, I love the idea of those PWG Mystery Vortex shows.
I love that.
Don't know what's going to happen, right? I love one night tournaments because you don't know who's going to make it to the second round. And sometimes it's a guy that, you know, is an alternate and loses in his alternate fight and somehow makes it through. But I didn't ask who I was facing until I was on my way to that show. And when I found out, I was like, what? Excuse me? All right. So it was not somebody I expected to, you know, have any sort of in-ring chemistry with, or I mean, honestly, any sort of chemistry with. I had watched Fred as a primetime player. I had watched him with his little bow tie on,
yeah,
hanging out with Bob Backlund. And to see him now, I mean, clearly it's the same guy, but you'd be hard pressed to find anybody that knew, I think really knew, that this was the kind of guy that he was.
A year before that, I saw him in Chicago and we did an interview, and I'm like, hey man, are you retired? You haven't wrestled in like a year and a half. And he goes, nope. He's like, I'm waiting for the right opportunity, and I'm going to wait until I get that opportunity. And he did. And 2 years after leaving WWE, you all did something just really special. I thought that was just so important in helping establish New Japan Strong, especially because New Japan was effectively forced into a brand split at that point because of the pandemic. And I thought that was like such a great feud to really help put a stamp on that.
Yeah, I really think that a 2 year run of the weekly Strong shows, if you watch them, it was, I would just say, consistently over that 2 year span, I think the best weekly pro wrestling show. There was not a ton of bullshit. There was simple angles. There was some of the top stars you see on, you know, wrestling TV now were competing on those shows. So I loved it.
I really loved it. To me, it looked like I really loved it because I had somebody ask me to explain it to them as they were about to watch it. And I was like, well, It's like if the best era of NXT, New Japan, was told, book a show kind of like that, where you're going to have your big stars on there. You're going to bring in new people. You're going to bring in successful people from other places and put on incredible matches and storylines. It fit so well. I know you've also been a part of a Deadlock Pro a lot. They've got something very special going on over there too, like a really great environment.
Yeah, those shows are awesome. Like, obviously, WWE has now picked up some of the top, like, what would be homegrown, I guess, talent from Deadlock. So there's tons of eyes on those shows. There's guys from WWE. There's guys from AEW. There's people from Impact. There's, you know, some of the heavy hitters from all across the globe make their way there. And those shows are just so beyond stacked. I love, like, as a wrestler, as long as all things are equal, you'd prefer to be first on the show. Of course. You could just kind of be done. And this is one of those shows where I, like, you know, I don't care if I'm in the main event because I get to watch a ton of awesome wrestling when I'm done. So those shows are some of my favorite shows to be at. I mean, you could tell the crowd loves being there. You could tell the owners and the guys behind Deadlock love it. You know what I mean? And it really, you know, it's a passion project to them. And you could tell their passion, you know?
They love it. They love it. And they do really special, cool things. And what I like is they cultivate a great audience and environment and community as well that I think is wonderful. So you are MLW Tag Champion. You just recently worked ROH. You work New Japan as well. Are you still technically free agent, technically able to do just whatever the hell you want?
I mean, for the first, this would actually be the first time in years that I am technically a free agent.
Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day. And Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything and you won't believe how simple it is.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So, okay. How do you sort of manage that? Is there anything, like, even if you are per appearance, obviously you're holding a title in MLW. If you were to pop up on like Ring of Honor in a couple weeks, would that be something you're like, hey, Court, I'm going to be over here, even though I'm MLW tag champ? Or would that just be something you'd expect him to kind of understand?
I'd expect to have a conversation about it. That's what I kind of expect. It's not something that's been broached. And like I said, this is, you asked, you know, if I'm still a free agent. And like I said, this is really for the first time in years now, about now is, you know, the first time that I have been. So, but I'll be real. I've got about 45 to 60 days where I'm not going to make any sort of, I wouldn't even plan on anything until that UFC lawsuit and stuff gets filed.
Fair.
So that I can make, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I'm still taking bookings, But, you know, maybe that'll wind down. Maybe it won't. Maybe I'll take less bookings. Maybe I'll focus more in one place. I don't know what's going to happen. You know, that's kind of like a, not a life changer, but, you know, at least for a short-term financial situation, it could be, you know, so.
What are you, I mean, I don't know what you are able to say about anything like that or the recent settlement about how you feel about that, because you've been very outspoken about some things in which you have, time was very kind to you on your words that you had regarding USADA, regarding the UFC, all that stuff. Like, you have been effectively proven correct in everything that you said in that sense. Is there any sort of like insight or words you can lend to all that that's going on?
No, I'm waiting just like everybody else. I mean, I know some of the guys that filed the lawsuit. You know, I'm friends with Kyle Kingsbury, friends with Nate Quarry. So, but I'm not the type of person that's going to reach out to these guys that I don't speak to all the time and go, hey, give me some of the inside info. Hey, did you get any contract changes in the lawsuit? Hey, what's my payout going to be? You know what I mean? I think like most of the other fighters in my situation, guys who, you know, maybe they've saved some money, but they don't have millions of dollars in the bank from the UFC days. You know, this is a big deal. So, you know, I don't really like it. It's weird. I don't expect anything to change because even when I was, a couple of years ago, I was fighting and wrestling, and you make, I mean, in the PFL, I mean, it's public record. I mean, I made $40,000 one night, and then the next night I'm at AIW's, you know, independent show in the Odeon in Cleveland. So, you know what I mean? Like, I'm probably still going to be out there everywhere and hopefully just collecting money from the UFC. My long-term goal is to buy... I now want to buy the six-sided ring from Brian Keith, who recently purchased it with his AEW signing money, so that I can run some six-sided shows.
Would those be like? First off, I have no clue if you're serious or not. Zero clue if you're serious or not. But if you were, I got to bump in one for the first time at the Black Label Pro show, because they got one upstairs, or they didn't have one upstairs.
It's gone. Yeah.
Yeah. I heard they took it out.
Brian Keith bought it.
That's the one he bought.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, buddy.
I don't know why, but
it's a little small.
That's what I was told, at least. You have
to ask
him.
Why I got to hunt down that rumor. Yeah. That's fantastic. So you are an accomplished fighter. I don't know if you know the results of any of these rumored pro wrestling fights, but I want your take on who you think would have won. William Regal versus Van Hammer.
Oh, that's Regal all the way.
How do you think he won the fight?
Eye gouge.
I heard it was a nasty headbutt to the face.
I can see that too. You know what, though? That surprises me, because Van Hammer, you would think, being a headbanger of sorts, would have been able to withstand that. But hey,
you would think. I mean, I think that DDP has told that story in the past, but I don't know what exactly caused that. But I'll tell you another one. Paul Orndorff versus Tony Atlas. Now, listen, you know, it ain't going to be a big boot to Tony Atlas's face, because he wins that if that's how it happens.
Swallow it whole.
Yes, he would. He would. How do you think that one went?
Well, based on from what I've heard of Paul Orndorff's fighting abilities, I'm going to take Paul Orndorff in that fight.
Buddy, you are 2-0 right now. Yeah. You are 2-0.
I did not expect. These are not fights I'm familiar with either, but.
Oh, I looked some up. Like, we've got a series, Real Fights in Pro Wrestling. These aren't any I've had, like, sufficient evidence to cover. These are all purely speculative rumors, because I don't like to operate in fact.
The best.
What
kind.
Method of victory do you think there was there? What was the finishing move?
Oh, it was a punch with the atrophied arm.
No. Oh. I wish. That would have been great. Supposedly, Orndorff suplexed him onto concrete.
Oh, come on.
I have a hard time believing that one. Here's one for you. Goldberg versus Evan Courageous. Now, I happen to get some unique insight from Shane Helms on this, but I'll ask, what do you think started the fight? Because that's more interesting than the result.
I don't know. I mean, my guess is that something with Medusa. I don't know.
That would have been at least more noble. No pun intended for the three count thing and the young dragons and all that shit. But
and there's a Tank Abbott tie-in as well, because he was
supposedly Goldberg was backstage and Evan Courageous was entering the building. And Goldberg had his hands down his pants, just playing with his own balls, and reached out to shake Evan Courageous's hand. And Evan's like, "You were just playing with your balls. I'm not going to shake your hand." And Goldberg took exception to it. It wasn't much of a fight. Allegedly, Goldberg grabbed him by the throat and just shoved him across the room or the parking lot.
I would have picked Evan Courageous. I'm glad he didn't ask me who won that one.
Okay.
I would have gone with the upset. But
Damn it. Have you ever had an awkward situation like that where you had a reason to not shake somebody's hand and maybe they got upset about it?
I mean, in real life?
Sure.
Oh, I mean, like I've had wrestling.
No, in kayfabe.
Well, I mean, yeah. Well, I mean, do you mean in a wrestling context or like
any context?
Because my real life outside of
when you go to bookings, you're like, this isn't real life. This doesn't count.
I mean, yeah, and like amateur wrestling matches, I've had them devolve into fights. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah. Interesting. Every time I talk to you, I'm going to ask you about three more wrestling fights that live in lore.
I would love to hear more of them.
I've got Great Khali versus The Big Show.
When was this?
I feel like it was fairly early into Khali's run.
I think The Big Show. I would take The Big Show in that one due to his run-ins with Floyd Mayweather. And the fact Great Khali could barely move at that point, early in his career.
Well, as it turns out, they got upset over something that happened in the ring, and legend has it that Big Show tripped over a bag, and as a result, Great Khali got the upper hand.
Oh my God. No. Damn it. Well, I told you I didn't want any more. I don't like talking about that sort of stuff at all.
See? We're going to hit you with one more, and you may have heard about this one. JBL versus Steve Blackman.
Oh, come on. Dude, let me tell you. I watched all those Brawl for All.
Oh, like, yeah.
I watch them once a month, the whole thing. And Steve Blackman, in the fight he had, he was going to win that thing.
Oh, yeah.
100%. He was going to win that competition. He was so fast on his feet. And his takedowns were so good.
Dude, he just spammed Mark Merrow.
that Golden Gloves, Johnny B. Bad.
Yes.
Rudy Tutti Frutti, Fresh and Fruity Punch didn't land.
Dude, I watched them all. I think it was 2016. I did like this monster feature on them. And I had Bart Gunn in on it. And then he pulled out. So I was like, fuck it. I'm going to interview Butterbean then. And Butterbean watched a bunch of them. And he's like, yeah. I watched all the fights. He's like, I was not concerned as to whoever was going to win that. Was there anybody in that surprised you with their technique at all? Because there was some real horrible technique in those fights.
Honestly, Steve Blackman was so good that I was still impressed by what he was doing, even though, you know, I thought that he was going to be one of the better guys. When I went back and watched it, I couldn't believe how good he was, to be fair.
Yeah. Oh, man, it was so...
The rest of them sucked.
They were very
fucking
bad.
Fucking garbage.
They were really, really rancid. Bad. I'm trying to think of, like, anybody... Somebody was like, who had the best technique that you saw standing up? And I'm like, nobody? I was like, Godfathers was maybe a little bit better than I thought it would be. and that's not saying much, but
he was the supreme fighting machine.
That's also true. And I mean, Hawk got his ass whipped round one by Draz. Oh man. But the legend goes that JBL pissed off Blackman and just cracked him with a series of strikes before anything could even happen. And I guess JBL told somebody that Blackman whipped his ass before he even knew he was in a fight.
If only it would have been fair and square.
Yeah, if it only would have been fair and square. I saw you recently, Filthy Tom Lawler, because you are a man of many talents. You covered the WrestleMania kickoff event as a media. First off, how dare you? Second off, what was that experience like for you? Because, I mean, you are one of the best, I don't know what you would call yourselves, pundits, talking heads at this. You were well ahead of the game in that sense, and you bring a nice approach to it, I think.
Well, I didn't know what to expect at all. And when I showed up, it was a madhouse. One of the first things, you know, I'm sure people online that are following the journalists, you know that like Nick Houseman didn't end up in the thing in the press conference. And, you know,
well, he didn't end up getting interviews after the event. Yeah.
Well, whatever the case may be, when I showed up and started going in, that was basically the first thing that I ran into. So my very first like experience is like walking up in the line. I kind of wait for a minute, and then it's like Nick Houseman, you know, talking about them not doing interviews post the thing. And I was trying to figure out like, okay, what's going on here? Like, I mean, what am I getting myself into? But once I got in there, it was a little easier.
Interviews. They let me interview people.
Well,
and Denise,
they let me in at all.
Yeah, so. True. But, with those TKO execs running around at that.
I know, I got some inside people, you know what I mean? In the media department there. So I may be able to get into some more events in the future. Maybe a power slap event. Who knows?
Oh brother. I still get their press releases. And it's like, I don't know if you've ever
I may end up going, but
they integrate the power slap videos into the UFC Instagram now. And you just see constantly like hundreds of comments. It's like unfollowed. It's so ridiculous. What would it take for you to do a power slap fight, Filthy Tom? I got one for you. Would you ever do a worked power slap fight in MLW?
Actually, I mean, I would like to attempt that, actually. A worked power slap. Well, how do you, you can't
give
me the gig before we go in.
Oh man. I was surprised that that never happened in AEW when they were the lead in for power slap. Just,
I mean, cooler heads prevailed.
Yeah, thank God.
I guess.
Thank God we didn't see Orange Cassidy just doing one of those. Filthy Tom, you will be at MLW War Chamber March 29th in St. Petersburg. You can see it on Triller TV. Thank you so much for taking the time. Tell the people where they can find you, support you, check out your stuff. Because you've always got a lot of good stuff going on.
Yeah, you can check me out at Filthy Tom Lawler on Twitter, X, whatever it is, and Instagram. As Sean said, you can find me next week, MLW in Tampa, the War Chamber on Triller, formerly Fight TV. And I'm pumped up. I can't wait to get in those two cages. Are you kidding me? It's going to be
violent,
bloody, action-packed. And as Sean said, I'm all over the place. Like, I might be wrestling in your backyard. Literally, I might be wrestling in your backyard at some point in the next few months. So check out my social media if you want to find out where I am.
Yeah, if you are a fan of people getting hit very, very hard, the MLW War Chamber show is for you. If you just look at the ingredients involved on that show, Timothy Thatcher, Matt Riddle, of course, Kojima's in the same match. You got Second Gear crew as well. A lot of good stuff. Tom Lawler, thank you so much.
Thank you, Sean.
Until next time, guys, we're out.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.